He intended to repay his debt, and Allah helped him to do so.
The following story is related in Sahih al-Bukhari from Abu Huraira, radiyallahu anhu, from Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A man from the children of Israel asked another man from the children of Israel to lend him 1,000 dinars. And he answered, "Bring witnesses that I will make bear witness to this transaction." The first man said, "Allah is enough as a witness." He said, "Then bring me a guarantor." He said, "Allah is enough as a guarantor." The man said, "You have spoken the truth." He gave him the money for a fixed term. The debtor traveled by sea, and when he fulfilled the purpose of his journey, he was looking for a ship that he could board and return on to pay the debt at the appointed time. However, he was not able to find a ship, so he took a piece of wood, pierced it, and thrust into it 1,000 dinars along with a letter to the creditor. Then he took it to the ocean. He said, "O Allah, you know that I borrowed 1,000 dinars from such and such person, and he asked me for a guarantor. I said Allah is enough as a guarantor. He was pleased with you, and he also asked for a witness. I said Allah is enough as a witness, and he was pleased with you as a witness. And I have not been able to find a ship on which I could send him that which is due to him. So indeed, I trust it to you." He threw the piece of wood into the ocean until it was swallowed by it, and then he went away. He then continued to search for a boat on which he could return to his country. The creditor went out looking. Perhaps a boat would come with his wealth. He found a piece of wood in which was the money, and he took it to his family as firewood. When he broke the wood open, he found the money and the letter. Then the debtor returned, bringing with him 1,000 dinars. He said, "By Allah, I continue to search for a boat in order to return your wealth to you. But I did not find one until I found the one that I came on now." The other man asked, "And did you send anything to me? For indeed, Allah paid for you through the wood that you sent."
This is how friendship should be.
Abu Darda, radiyallahu anhu, said to his wife, "If you see that I am angry, then appease me. And if I see that you are angry, I will appease you. Otherwise, why should we keep company with one another?" When this saying reached Imam Zuhri, he said, "That is how companionship should be."
Juraij, the worshipper.
The story of Juraij is significant, for it contains many very important lessons. Juraij was a righteous man who was a prolific worshipper from the children of Israel. However, he angered his mother one day when she came to him three times, asking to speak to him. Each time he was busy in prayer, and he was torn between answering his mother and continuing in his prayer. And each time he chose the prayer, she became angry and invoked against him with a supplication that Allah answered. She supplicated that he should not die until he lives to see the faces of lewd women. Later on in his life, a woman accused him of fornicating with her and claimed that he was the father of her child. Then Allah saved him because of his righteousness and piety. But before that happened, people became angry against him because of the woman's claim, and they went to his abode and destroyed his place of worship. He made ablution, prayed, and then asked for the child to be brought forth. In front of all who were present, he asked the child, "Who is your father, O child?" It spoke by the will of Allah, saying, "The shepherd." The people regretted having destroyed his place of worship and said, "We will build your place of worship from gold." He refused, saying, "But rather build it from mud."
An example of piety.
Tawus related from his father a story about a man who had four children. He became sick, and one of them said, "Either you take care of him during his sickness, and you will have nothing from his inheritance, or let me take care of him during his sickness, and I will have nothing from his inheritance." The other children said, "No, you take care of him, and you will have nothing from the inheritance." And so he took care of him until he died. And as he had promised, he did not take anything from his father's estate. Later on, it was said to him in a dream, "Come to such and such place and take 100 dinars. During the dream, he asked, "Are there blessings in that money?" It was said to him, "No." When he woke up, he told his wife about his dream. She said, "Take the money, for from its blessings is that you will be able to clothe us and we will be able to live off of it." On the following night, he saw a similar dream in which it was said to him, "Come to such and such place and take 10 dinars. He said, "Are there blessings in that money?" They said, "No." In the morning, he told that to his wife, and she said the same as she did the day before. He refused to take it. And on the third night, it was said to him, "Come to such and such place and take 1 dinar. He asked, "And are there blessings in it?" It was said, "Yes." When he woke up, he went and actually found the dinar. He then went to the marketplace and saw a man carrying 2 fish. He asked, "How much are they for?" The man said, "For 1 dinar. He bought them and returned to his home. When he cut them open, he found in the belly of each a pearl, the likes of which no man from his land had seen before.
The reward for visiting one's brother.
Muslim related from Abu Huraira, radiyallahu anhu, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that a man went to visit his brother in another village. On his path, Allah made an angel lie in wait for him. And when he reached that point, the angel asked, "Where do you wish to go?" He said, "I want to visit a brother of mine in this village." The angel said, "Does he have to give any blessings to you that you wish to collect?" He said, "No, except that I love him for Allah." The angel said, "I am indeed a messenger from Allah to you to inform you that Allah indeed loves you as you love him." Collected by Muslim.
The signs of an ignorant person.
Abu Darda, radiyallahu anhu, said, "The signs of the ignorant one are 3. Self-conceit, much talk in that which does not concern him, and forbidding others from something that he himself commits."
Dutifulness to one's parents.
Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa, radiyallahu anhu, related, "We were with the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and someone came to him saying, 'O Messenger of Allah, a young man is dying.' And it was said to him, 'Say, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah.' But he was not able to say it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, 'Did he used to pray?' The man said, 'Yes. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood, and so we stood with him. He entered upon the young man and said, 'Say, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah.' He said, 'I am not able to.' The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, 'And why not?' The man said, 'He was undutiful to his mother.' The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, 'Is his mother alive?' They said, 'Yes.' He said, 'Then call her.' They called her and she came. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "This is your son?" She said, "Yes." He said, "Suppose that a huge fire is kindled for him, and it is said to you, 'If you intercede for him, we will leave him free. Otherwise, we will burn him with this fire.' Would you then intercede for him?" She said, "O Messenger of Allah, in that case I would intercede." He said, "Then make Allah and myself bear witness that you are indeed pleased with him." She said, "O Allah, I make you bear witness, and I make your messenger bear witness that I am indeed pleased with him." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "O young man, say, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah alone, and he has no partners. And bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and messenger." The young man spoke those words, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "All praise is for Allah, who has saved him through me from the hellfire."
If you choose me as your leader, then you must obey me.
Mus'ab ibn Ahmed ibn Mus'ab said that Abu Muhammad al-Mirwazi passed through Baghdad desiring to go to Mecca. I wanted to accompany him, and so I went to him and asked permission to join him in his journey, but he refused. 2 years later, he came again. And again I went to him, greeted him, and asked permission to go with him. He said, "I stipulate one condition, that one of us is a leader, and that the other one must not oppose him in his decisions." I said, "You are the leader." He said, "No, you be the leader." I said, "You are older and more worthy." He said, "Then do not disobey me." I said, "Okay." We started our journey, and whenever the time for a meal arrived, he would prefer me to himself, which I didn't like. But whenever I voiced my disagreement, he said, "Did I not stipulate that you should not oppose me?" That was our way. And I ended up regretting my keeping company with him, because he would inflict much harm upon himself by taking care of me and by choosing me over himself at all times. On some days during the journey, the rain came down heavily. Whenever that had been the case, he would make me sit down and cover me with a cloth in his hand, keeping me dry but remaining wet himself. It reached the point that I wished I had never went out with him in the first place, and I could not stand to see him continue to inflict pain on himself. This is how he was in all matters until we reached Mecca. May Allah have mercy on him.
How to make amends after a domestic dispute.
Sahl ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi related that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to the house of Fatima radiyallahu anha, but he didn't find Ali. He asked, "Where is your cousin?" meaning, who was also her husband. She said, "There occurred between me and him something, and he was angry with me and went out." Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to someone, "Find out where he is." The man said, "He is sitting down in the mosque." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went there and saw that he was lying down. His robe was falling from his side, and there was some dust on him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to say, "Stand, O Abu Turab, stand, O Abu Turab." Sahl said, "He later on had no name that was more beloved to him than that name. When he was angry with his wife and went outside, it was an opportunity for Ali to calm down his anger, which could otherwise easily have gotten out of control." Contemplate the wisdom of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He went to Ali in the mosque and playfully called him Abu Turab, meaning the father of dust, because he was covered with dust. He was making him feel better without asking for the details or the cause behind the difference of opinion. Fatima did the same, for she did not tell her father the details of the fight between her and her husband, Ali. Rather, she only said, "There occurred between me and him something. He became angry with me and went outside." There is indeed an important lesson to be learned here by all husbands and wives, as well as by their parents.
Hassan al-Basri.
He advised some of his students, admonishing them about avoiding the state of being proud. He said, 1. Do not deceive yourself into becoming too proud because you are in a good or righteous environment. For there is no place that is better than paradise, and our father, Adam, alayhi salam, experienced there what is known to all. 2. Do not become proud merely because you worship often, for consider what happened to Iblis, meaning Satan, after he spent a great deal of time worshiping. 3. Do not think yourself great because you have met with righteous people, for there is no man more righteous than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet the disbelievers and hypocrites did not benefit by simply knowing him.
Generosity, friendship, and good companionship.
When the time for Hajj would come, Ibn Mubarak would gather his friends from Maru, and they would say, "We will accompany you." He would say, "Bring your expense money." He would take expense money from them for the trip and place that money in a box, which he would then lock away. He would take them to Baghdad and continue to spend on them, always feeding them the best of food and the best of sweets, and then wearing the best of clothing. They would leave Baghdad until they would reach the city of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would say to each one of them, "Did not your family ask you to buy for them some of the merchandise of Al-Medina?" When they reached Mecca, he would say to each one of them after the Hajj was over, "Did not your family ask you to buy for them from the merchandise of Mecca?" He would buy for them whatever they wanted. He would leave Mecca and he would continue to spend on them until they returned home. Then the doors of their homes would be polished, and after 3 days passed, he would hold for them a banquet, for which he prepared special clothes for each one of them. After eating and enjoying themselves, he would call for the box of money. He would open it and give to each man from his bag of spending money upon which was written his name. And each person would find that nothing was missing from what they originally put in those bags.
A mother's true love.
Abu Huraira, radiyallahu anhu, related that Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "There were two women, each of them had a son. A wolf came and took away the son of one of them. One said to the other, 'It took away your son.' And the other said, 'No, it took away your son.' They went to Dawood alayhi salam for judgment, and he ruled for the older of the two. Then they went to Sulaiman ibn Dawood alayhi salam and informed him of what happened. He said, 'Bring to me a knife, I will cut him in two.' The younger of the two women said, 'Do not do so. May Allah have mercy on you, for he is her son.' Then Sulaiman, knowing the love of a mother, ruled for the younger of the two women." Collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim.
One's recompense for going through a calamity.
Bukhari and Muslim related from Abu Huraira, radiyallahu anhu, that Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, Whenever a Muslim loses three of his children, the hellfire will not touch him except to fulfill an oath. And that is referring to the verse,
"There is not one of you but will pass over it," meaning the hellfire.
This refers to passing over the bridge that is erected over the hellfire, and may Allah protect us from it.